Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings and UFC's most notorious icon stepping back into the octagon this Saturday. Be sure to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, for a shot to turn $1 into $257. That's right. New users can bet $1 on McGregor to win by knockout in the first round. And if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Bet a little, win a lot. It's that simple. All you need to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code KSN when you sign up, and you could turn $1 into $257 if McGregor wins by first round knockout. That's code KSN for new players for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, in with Greg Pickle. Greg, we're going to start with news and notes from James Franklin's press conference from Monday of this week. And obviously, the first topic was going to be the change at offensive coordinator. James Franklin said there was a philosophical difference issue with Kirk Ciarca. What was your take on all of the offensive coordinator talk?
Yeah, it's funny, Jim, because that news conference was billed as the 2020 season wrap-up with Penn State coach James Franklin, and I'm trying to think there was almost no talk about the 2020 season, and there never is at this point in time, as we all know that once the season ends, you know, it's a lot of looking ahead to the next year, and then obviously when you make arguably the biggest splash of the offseason and hire Mike Yurcich and let go Kirk Ciarca, that is going to dominate the talk whenever James Franklin is made available again, which of course he was just yesterday. So yeah, I mean, obviously I think the biggest takeaway is that he didn't come out and say this, but it's really hard for me to see it any other way, Jim. Him basically admitting that they made a mistake going with Kirk Ciarca, and it almost sounded like the hope was that they wanted to mold Kirk Ciarca into something that he never really was before, and that's a guy who runs an offense similar to the one that James Franklin likes and has wanted to run, and that Joe Moorhead ran and Ricky Ronnie ran, etc. So, you know, I think if Mike Yurcich was on the market last year and if Penn State could have got him last year, that would have been their first choice, but they did not. And then when, you know, Tom Herman's staff got let go down in Texas, Mike Yurcich became available and kind of needed a new opportunity, and Penn State felt like it clearly felt like that he was going to get it to where it wanted to be faster than Kirk Ciarca could. So, you know, I just found it odd that James Franklin kept saying that it's getting back to more, it was almost like he was implying that Kirk Ciarca was forced on him. And I didn't really understand kind of the way it was described. You know, this was a hire he made. It was one that, you know, clearly I don't think was working the way he wanted it to. Again, that's my words, not his. But just listening to him talk, it's hard to get any other feeling other than the fact that he didn't really think that was going to work long term. And he thinks Mike Yurcich, who's a guy he's known for a long time, is something that can work in the short term and the long term. So, you know, kind of what we speculated is what James Franklin said, but I did find the way it was kind of explained a little bit interesting.
I found it interesting, Greg, that a year ago when asked, would this be Kirk Ciarca's offense or the other offense? And we kept hearing the word blending, and that obviously didn't work, at least like James Franklin wanted it. And he talked in terms of there weren't enough explosive plays, there were too many turnovers, and the final element is we need more scoring, which is a good thing for an offense.
Yeah, I don't think that any of those things are, you know, hard to figure out. James Franklin spent a lot of years talking about those kind of things. So the fact that he wants more of those in his offense, and, you know, again, obviously he was not going to come out and say, what I think we all now think and have thought, that Mike Yurcich is what he probably would have preferred last year at this time. But again, it didn't work out, so they had to go a different direction. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that he put a lot of the problems not on any of his players' shoulders, but on Kirk Soraka's shoulders, fairly or unfairly. So, you know, obviously, when you look at Penn State offensively, I mean, they did score, 268 points this year. I mean, I know some of that was built up, in blowout wins and things like that. But, Jim, that was one of the better marks in the Big Ten and in the country in terms of points for. So, you know, this idea that they couldn't score any points is kind of humorous. But, yeah, I mean, look, obviously James Franklin felt like this change had to happen, Jim. And, you know, again, I think you have to give him credit for the fact that, and again, these are my words, not his, but it almost sounded like the way he explained it, that he was admitting that he made a mistake last year with Kirk Soraka, that wasn't what he wanted for this Penn State program, that's not what he felt was best for Penn State's program. So he went and made a big splash, and obviously that costs money, and we don't know what the Kirk Soraka buyout is, and we don't know what the salary is for Mike Yurcich, but we can assume that it's not cheap. And so, obviously, I think that when you kind of break all of this down, it was a kind of a move that Penn State, you know, isn't known for, that they don't do a whole heck of a lot. I don't know if you can really point to another example like it. I mean, obviously, Joe Moorhead worked out the way a lot of people think Mike Yurcich will work out, but, you know, I don't know if there was the same kind of buzz and expectation back then compared to what there is now. So, you know, big move for them. Obviously, it will impact not just this season, but the rest of James Franklin's tenure. And, you know, he was pretty clear yesterday about why those decisions were made.
I give him credit if he truly believes that this is the right decision and he made a mistake last year. He's not going to come right out and say, boy, I blew it. Boy, Kirk Soraka hire was a mistake.
Right.
But by his actions, you could judge that he prefers Mike Yurcich. And I give him credit for making a decision that's going to get him second guessed. There were a few other things that he went into during the press conference. It sounded to me like he was would have been okay either way, whether the team decided to go to the bowl game or not go to a bowl game. Did you get the same impression?
You know, I did, Jim, but I also got the impression that it was never really in doubt what they were going to decide to do. At least that was the way I looked at it. I really didn't get the opinion that there was ever a serious consideration from either the team or the players or the administration about a bowl game. You know, obviously, I'm sure it was tough to decline that and to not obviously extend the season one more game and keep these players and this team together one more game. But it sounded like everyone was really at peace with that decision. And I didn't get the sense listening to James talk that there was any really serious consideration about going to the bowl game, playing in the postseason. And, you know, I do agree with you that if they were going to go, I feel like he would have been fine with it and they would have found a way to make it work. But I'm just really not sure how much that was considered.
The other topic was the transfer portal and sticking to that, the offensive side and the coordinator. Quarterback position is always tied to that. And no doubt Sean Clifford did not have a great season. And he was asked, would he be looking to the transfer portal for another quarterback? His answer was, I considered it coach speak. We're trying to get better everywhere. And some folks interpreted that as, oh, he would be looking for a quarterback in the portal. I'm not so sure. I mean, he was very quick in other positions, defensive end and defensive backs, naming those positions. Yes, we're looking. I'm not sure unless he has an absolute, you know, home run of a portal quarterback. I don't think he's going to go there. Do you?
Yeah. No, I look at it like this. They're obviously trying to improve at a number of positions, defensive back being one, defensive end being one. Those are the two he specifically pointed out. And obviously they've made some pickups there already with John Dixon, the corner from South Carolina, and Arnold Ebiketti, the Temple defensive end. So, you know, but they still have some work to do there, either through high school recruits joining before the early signing period, which is now about a month away, or the traditional signing period, which is now about a month away, or the transfer portal guys who are already in college. So, but yeah, unless they love a guy, I don't think they're going to, and we've talked about this before, unless you feel pretty good about that guy being your starting quarterback, Jim, it's really hard, I think, to bring him in and potentially rock the boat in that quarterback room to a point where, you know, you may end up with, you know, right now they have what, five scholarship quarterbacks on the roster with Christian Bayou starting classes this week. So, you know, that will, obviously help, but, Micah Bowens is in the transfer portal. You're going to see guys leave if they don't think there's a path to the field. And if you bring a transfer in, you might end up losing more than you would think or expect to lose. So all told, I have a hard time thinking they're going to do that, Jim, unless it's a slam dunk.
I agree. And there was some more conversation about the transfer portal, and you and I were talking off the air about this. You get the sense James Franklin, he doesn't like the transfer portal. He even brought up the educational setbacks for players who transfer because credits may not go. I don't know about you, Greg, but I just feel when coaches start to talk about the education of their players and not letting them do the transfer thing because the kids need to learn loyalty and discipline and all of those things, am I wrong? It comes across as hypocritical to me when all these college football coaches, they break their contracts to leave to go to greener pastures all the time, or they threaten to go to get a better contract. I just find it hard to appreciate when a coach goes down that path.
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing that you can say about James Franklin that it may not be possible to say about a lot of other coaches is that he has talked about education and graduation and making sure his players get that degree since he got here, and he talks about it all the time, almost every day. It's really tough to get past the news conference with him and not have that come up. So I do think what he's saying is genuine, but I agree with your point. It's just, you know, the quote was, I just went and looked it up, and he said, I see less of, and he's talking about the impact, the consideration of education decisions. He goes, every time a guy transfers, his likelihood of graduating goes down. They lose credits through the transfer process, and I worry about that. You don't even see that being discussed anymore. These are football decisions being made, and that's just very different than the college football that I got involved in, and I think most of my generation or older got involved with. And no argument. I mean, the game has changed. No question. It is a different environment right now for coaches and players than it ever has been, and certainly different than when James Franklin played and when he started his coaching career. So I can appreciate his perspective on that. But, you know, again, you're fine with that football decision coming in when Derek Tangelo or John Lovett can make your team better. Then you have to be okay with it the other way, too. And you can be concerned about it, but at the end of the day, his job is to win football games, obviously to educate his players and help them graduate, but ultimately he'll be judged not by his APR rate, but whether or not he wins enough games to win a Big Ten title or get to the college football playoff, fairly or not.
Exactly. Any non-football student is able to transfer. Why can't a football player? All right, that's it for quarter number one. And quarter number two, we're going to talk recruiting. Stay tuned.
UFC's most notorious icon is back. Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on McGregor to win by knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.